time to go inside the huddle with those in the know at Eastern Michigan University Athletics. This is the All E Show on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
The Ticket.
Now, from the Champions Built Here studio on the EMU campus, here's your host, Greg Steiner.
A wonderful Monday Eve to you. Welcome inside the All E Show here from the Eastern Michigan campus. I am Greg Steiner. Thanks for tuning in. As always, you can be an interactive part of our broadcast. Go on Facebook or Twitter and use the hashtag All E Show. We'd love to hear from you, or you can always email us, emueaglesradio@gmail.com. Drop us a note. Let us know you're listening. Eastern Michigan football was back out on the road last week. They took on Northern Illinois. We'll get into the full recap of that here with head coach Chris Creighton in a moment, but certainly our congratulations go out to the men's and women's cross-country teams here at Eastern Michigan University as John Goodridge brought home his eighth consecutive men's cross-country championship over the weekend. Impressive fashion, the Eagles have now tied the longest stretch in conference history with a championship. Meanwhile, Sue Parks brought home her third consecutive title on the women's cross-country side down in Oxford, Ohio. They'll advance to the regionals coming up next week, and we certainly wish them the best, and we'll get a check of them as we continue through the month of November. Also, soccer saw its season conclude, and your final chance to see volleyball this weekend will be at the Convocation Center Friday at 7 o'clock against Western Michigan, and then a 5 o'clock Senior Day celebration on Saturday against Northern Illinois. So plenty of good things going on. And we didn't even mention basketball gets going. Women's basketball has their first exhibition game this Wednesday night at Hillsdale College. The Chargers come to town for a 7 o'clock tip before the first real game gets going a week from Friday at 1 o'clock. It'll be a doubleheader at Education Day with the men's team hosting Spring Arbor first at 10:30. But we'll get into all those details as we go along. But the man to my right, certainly fighting to get back on the football field, and head coach Chris Creighton, and another nail biter and another one that went right down to the wire, coach, against the Huskies.
It sure did. Went down to the last play. I think played eight now, seven have gone, down to the last play or the final moment of the game. And we got the Rutgers one, but we've got a stretch here where we haven't come out on the winning side, and been frustrating. But same time, our guys are continuing to battle, and we are still looking forward to achieving our goals.
I don't know about you, but I get a lot of notes from people around the country that are tuned in, watching, just kind of saying, hey, keep your head up, you're right there. Are you getting a lot of the same things? Because people are taking notice of how this team's playing, and it's almost that just bit of bad luck people notice is coming the Eagles' way.
You know, there have been some incredibly kind notes and emails, texts that I've received. Today, I got a statue of an eagle with Isaiah 40:31 sent from a Hall of Fame quarterback, Don Stewart, down in Florida, with a really nice note, and got actually two letters in the mail. Of people who care about this program and, like you said, have been following us and really believe in our guys and writing to encourage, and we really appreciate it.
20 previous years as being a head coach at all different levels. Have you ever seen anything like this in your coaching tree?
I've never gone through it, for sure. If I've ever seen anything, I sure don't remember it. Yeah, no, I mean, there's something a little odd to it, for sure, but we're gonna keep at it.
It makes for great drama on television, not so great when you're the ones having to live through it. And Eastern Michigan coming up for the second consecutive week in overtime, just a bit short, falling 30-27 to Northern Illinois. And let's take a look back before we get into the highlights of this game. It was really a defensive struggle in the first quarter where your team was able to get the ball first and made a few plays to get a first down or two before having to punt it away. And then you really limit Northern in their first three possessions out of their first three, two, three and outs.
Yeah, our defense, you know, prepared well, as did our offense, you know, on the 5 days. It's just it's a unique challenge, you know, to play a football game in 5 days, and especially coming off of a homecoming loss and overtime and whatnot. And so I was really proud of our staff and our team. We were ready to go. There's no doubt about that, and played the full, whatever it was, 3.5 hours, really, really hard. And our defense definitely got off to a great start, you know, against an offense which is probably the second most difficult to prepare for on our schedule behind Army.
Certainly, Marcus Childers able to do things as a freshman, gets their team on the board first with kind of a broken play, 69 yards to the house, and it was one of those where they were backed up deep in their own territory, but just kind of a deep pass over the middle that you're able to slide through traffic.
Yeah, and we missed a tackle there, but they got the ball, you know, to one of their guys that can do something with it, and so we made somebody miss, and he was, you know, we couldn't catch him.
On the very next play after the touchdown, EMU has the ball at their own 32-yard line, and Brogan Roback finds one of his favorite targets throughout his EMU career here. Sergio Bailey goes 68 yards, the longest pass reception of Sergio's career, for a score, again, a seam route right up the middle.
Yeah, you know, it's a look that Coach Keene prepared the guys for, and we got the look and executed it perfectly. It was just a, you know, a beautiful play, and it was just came at obviously a really meaningful time after they had just scored on a long play. Just to come right back and to respond was a big deal.
Well, the score tied at 7, and NIU on a 4th-and-13 situation backed up towards their own end line. You force them to punt, and Matthew Sexton certainly wearing two hats, the wide receiver we've seen score on the offensive side of the ball, gets the block around the one edge, and Jerron Johnson picks it up in the end zone for the 9th blocked punt under your tenure in Ypsilanti.
It was a big play. Coach Nunez did a great job of scheming it up. You know, when we called for the block, and the guys executed it really well, just took it right off his foot and had two guys there in the end zone with it to make sure that we recovered it. And, you know, Jerron's what, second touchdown in as many weeks. So, huge, huge play.
After, that play, the Huskies would again go 3 and out and setting up a one more try before the half would expire. Pauly Fricano sets up for a long 50-yarder. It would be maybe testing the boundaries of his kick, but you go for it. And Pauly, right now, riding a little bit riding the rapids. How do you talk to a kicker who may be experienced as those ups and downs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we knew that he could make that kick. You know, the wind was at his back. And we're, you know, he's probably most comfortable from 47 or so in, and this was 50 or so. And, yeah, gave him a shot at it. You know, it wasn't going to be that big of a deal if he missed it. But he has missed a few now. And, you know, he's our guy. I mean, he's good. And we expect him to make them, and he expects to make them as well. So, you know, just like anybody, you know, there's a mental and a physical side, and you've got to be right in both of those aspects. He's a great guy, and he's a really good player. He cares about what he does, and so we believe in him.
Greg Center here on the All East Show with EMU football head coach Chris Creighton as we continue on recapping the NIU game. After taking the lead into half, the Huskies would cut into the deficit on their first drive after the intermission, getting a 25-yard chip shot as your defense able to hold them once they got inside the 10-yard line, really driving them back and then just forcing them away from the end zone.
Yeah, you know, our defense has been really, really stout, and particularly in the red zone. Now, in some of the overtimes, you know, it hasn't been the same as regulation, but, you know, our defense is tough to score against, and there's at times we're going to bend a little bit, you know, even by design, but, you know, as we get closer to the end zone, things get packed in a little bit tighter, more difficult to have the space to throw. You know, you're going to have to try to find a way to run, and you know, we're pretty good at stopping the run.
Your Eagles were able to force a turnover on the ensuing NIU drive as Kyle Rockwell able to force the fumble, and then the guy that just seems to find a way with the ball in his hand, Brody Hoying, comes up with it. And the most important thing was Brody had to leave in the first half due to injury, and wow, who knew if he was going to come back, but finds his way in the second half and making plays.
No doubt, no doubt. He is a tough hombre, and he is very good with the ball in his hands. And, you know, he had a little scare there, but he's going to be okay.
A guy that certainly had to battle back from knee injury his freshman season, so always a little scary when you see that, as the Eagles and Huskies would be headed to the fourth quarter with Eastern up by a 17-10 lead as we head to the fourth. With that, we'll also pause for our first break. We'll come back with the fourth quarter and overtime and also talk to you a little bit about the upcoming game against Ball State as we roll on here on the All East Show on Sports Talk 1050 WTK Ann Arbor.
Hi, Steve Demers, General Manager of Cuter Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and I'd like to thank all of our customers for choosing Cuter. Our promise to treat you like family means the very best deal on every new or used vehicle, along with the best selection, as well as value and superior service from everyone here at Cuter. I invite you to experience the Cuter difference. We're open Monday through Saturday or online 24/7 at Cuter.com. That's Cuter.com.
Sometimes it's fun to drive, like when your friend gives you the keys to their new car for a test drive. And sometimes it's not fun to drive, like when you're at a concert and want to have a few cocktails but then have to drive home. Whether you're taking a small group of friends out for a night on the town or you're planning a trip for a large group of 50 or more, Trinity Transportation has you covered. They've got a huge fleet of vehicles, including vans, minibuses, and full-size luxury buses. Call them at 877-284-4200 or visit them on the web at trinitytransportation.com. When you want to have fun but don't want to drive, let Trinity Transportation take care of you. And please, don't drink and drive.
Hi, Steve Demers, General Manager of Cuter Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and I'd like to thank all of our customers for choosing Cuter. Our promise to treat you like family means the very best deal on every new or used vehicle, along with the best selection, as well as value and superior service from everyone here at Cuter. I invite you to experience the Cuter difference. We're open Monday through Saturday or online 24/7 at Cuter.com. That's Cuter.com.
Every day, you want to do more for the people who depend on you, at work and at home. Now, with our help, you will. At Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network, we're doing more every day to help you get more out of healthcare and more out of life. More options, more efficiency, and more resources for employees, which means more time for life outside of work. We believe it's time for more. Find out how Blue Cross can bring more to your business and your life. Visit timeformore.com.
Behind every great champion is a diehard fan, and behind every fan, there's Meijer. When your tailgate calls for a last-minute sub, we're there with ham and mayo for the win. When your post-game celebration goes into triple overtime, we'll be wide open. And when your little all-star needs new equipment or your game day look needs new life, we've got you covered like an all-pro defenseman during a contract year. Because if you're the world's biggest fan, we're that friend who helps paint your chest. Meijer, your home store advantage.
Eagles back in action this Thursday night, 6 o'clock at the Factory, as they'll take on the Cardinals of Ball State. You can get your tickets right now by calling the EMU ticket office, 734-487-3669. Plenty of special rates in store for you. We'd certainly love to see you out at the game for also the debut of the Eastern Lights. You won't get your first chance to check out one of college football's premier light shows, and we'll kind of leave it at that and a little tease. But starting at 6 o'clock, and you can also make sure to get out early for the Eagle Walk, as the team will be there as they get off the buses and head in to Reinierson Stadium. EMUEagles.com/tickets or 734-487-ENOW, your place to go. This segment of the All East Show brought to you by the Ann Arbor Regent Hotel, located 2 miles from the EMU campus. The Ann Arbor Regent Hotel and Suites is proud to be the official hotel of EMU Athletics. Mention this ad and receive a special rate by calling 734-973-6100. Here with head coach Chris Creighton, I'm Greg Stenner, as we continue on fourth quarter. As we left off before the top of the break, the Eagles would start the fourth with a bit of trickeration hauled out for you. And the fourth time this year, Eastern has had a non-quarterback throw a pass, and Isaac Holder remains perfect 3 for 3 as he finds a streaking Bryce Kemp, 45 yards. This is following an NIU touchdown. Thoughts on kind of going for the quick strike after the turnover?
Yeah, you know, we had good field position. You know, there are times when you just kind of go for the jugular and times where you want to get, you know, maybe a first down or two if you've got something that you want to use. And, you know, there was a delay, you know, before we were able to start the play. And, you know, I kept asking Coach Keen, you know, is it good? He kept saying, yep. And it was. He was right.
That's one of those plays that they initially threw the flag on because it was right down the line. And I know from your coaching's perspective, you kind of usually ride the line down the sideline looking at it. Up in the press box, it certainly looked like it was far enough back. And once they reviewed it, it certainly was. But how do you coach those guys to make sure that they're watching the yard line before they toss it forward?
Yeah, you know, it's all alignment assignment and then executing it. You know, obviously we make sure when we're practicing it. However, when you look on the film, and it's probably the same one that the TV crew got to see, or the replay, Brogan, the ball was right on on one of the lines of the field. And so you could see that it did go backwards, but not much.
No,
I mean, it was really, really close.
Yeah, probably if it wasn't on a yard marker, it might have been a really tough call on replay to overturn.
I agree.
So the Eagles go up 24-10 with just over 13 minutes to go in the quarter and your fourth quarter, and you're thinking everything's going in good shape, but all of a sudden NIU at home just finds ways to get it together. They get a pass to completion to Shane Wyman for the touchdown 5 yards out, and then eventually deep in your own end zone, able to have a kick blocked in their favor to tie it up and get the game to overtime. But it was not to go quietly. Pauly Fricano, as your team has one final shot, lines up for the field goal and misses wide left just by the skin of his teeth.
At the end of regulation. Yeah, so we got the ball back with a little over 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and it was a two-score game, and so we wanted them to have to use timeouts and bleed some clock. And our first downs were really good. We ended up with a five-yard gain on first for one series and then an eight-yard gain on first. But weren't able to get first downs. And one was the penalty, you know, on that second down. We're second and two, and, you know, that hurt us. And then they had the big play to number 35, 50-yard play, which was a huge play for them. They ended up scoring. And then, you know, it's just unconscionable that we got our punt blocked. I mean, it just it was an absolute killer. Because I felt really good about our defense being out there and finishing up the game, you know, trying to flip the field, but that's not how it went. So we did race down, got to the 25-yard line right in the middle and had a shot to win it, went wide left and, you know, knew that we were going to need him, you know, potentially in overtime. So, you know what I mean? He can't be moping around and got to get ready to go for OT.
In overtime, he does come through with a kick from 35 yards out, but again, it just seems like in overtime or even at the end of regulation when your team gets close to the red zone, is that just the nerves to some degree tightening up?
No, you know, are you talking about kicking or just the offense?
Yeah, offense in general.
Yeah.
If you look at your red zone the last couple games,
sure.
If you look at the numbers, you've had more field goals than touchdowns inside the red zone.
Right, yeah. So a first down, we got an 8-yard gain again. You know, so we're at second and two and aren't able to get the first down. And so, you know, obviously we're watching the film and spending time, and it's, you know, we've got to, everybody's got to do their job and execute. And there's no reason for us not to be getting a first down, you know, when we're second and two. So we had to settle for the field goal.
We've listened to the highlights. Now we've talked about the highlights. Now let's take a look back at the highlights, courtesy of the Michigan Lottery. Good things happen when you play the Michigan Lottery. Highlights courtesy of the Eastern Michigan IMG Sports Network. Rob Rubick and Matt Shepard on the call.
Back out of the pistol, three receivers to the right. Bryce Kemp now walks his way inside. He'll be the closest to the line of scrimmage on the right side. One receiver to the left. Roback slings it out near side. Porter with the grab and a block to the 25. Broken tackle, 30. Near side, 35, 40. Outside the numbers, 45, and pushed out of bounds. Shy of midfield, but all the way up to the 48. Big play for Eastern Michigan's offense. Roback play action. Drops back deep. Pressure comes. Unloads across the middle. Wide open. There it is. See you later, Sergio Bailey. Middle of the field, 10-5. Touchdown, Eastern, with a huge response on a big play touchdown. Roll back to Bailey, and we're an extra point away from being tied.
Blake Bantam's had a nice return. It's blocked.
Eastern blocked it. It'll go into the end zone. It'll be recovered by the Eagles. And Eastern Michigan special teams take care of business and are on the board to give them the lead, 13-7.
Bantam to the left shoulder of Roback. He's going to throw again. Good pocket. He's going to loft it downfield. Nuplus wide open. Backpedaling to the 20, to the 19.
A first down for Eastern Michigan, and Johnny Newplow hauls in his fourth catch of the night.
Lone tailback rides on a play action, tosses near side, and it's caught. It's caught by Christian Blake all the way up.
Fumbled it, and Eastern's got it. They've got it at the 47-yard line. The Eagles and Brody Hoyne, are you kidding me? Another big-time play from the redshirt sophomore from Coldwater, Ohio.
Over on the far side, they'll throw it to Holder. A double pass.
He's wide open. Kemp's got it. Inside the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Bryce Kemp on a double throw from Isaac Holder.
Highlights again, courtesy of the Eastern Michigan IMG Sports Network. As always, you can catch them on WEMU 89.1. And Eastern ties the NCAA record at the FBS level for most consecutive overtimes in a same season. They've got two. No team in FBS history has ever had three consecutive overtimes, and the Eagles will try to avoid that coming up this weekend. But you look, or come Thursday night, I'm so used to saying this weekend, but you look at it, and with four games to go, everything kind of still squarely intact in terms of a season goal, the chance to go back to a second consecutive bowl and then win it, but it just becomes a little harder. And I was talking with Jason Beck a little bit ago, and he said, well, this kind of makes it like a playoff-like atmosphere. It's kind of win or you're kind of disappointed.
No doubt. You know, it's in terms of, I mean, we're going to play the season regardless of what happens, but our goal is crystal clear, you know, and it's exactly what you just said, to go to a second consecutive bowl, which has never been done at Eastern Michigan, and to win it. And in order for us to go to a bowl game, you know, we've got to win our last four, and we're going to do that by taking it 1-0.
And you got Ball State this Thursday. The Eagles will have to win out, and you go from teams that the last six of them have all either clinched bowl eligibility or are one game away from it. Meanwhile, your next four games will be against opponents that have just 10 wins combined over the next four between Ball State, Central Michigan, Miami, and Bowling Green. But they're all MAC games, and every MAC game is always a tough one.
No doubt. I mean, I promise you, we're not aware and not thinking about people's records. You know, we're just trying to get better ourselves. When we look back at some of these games, and dare say all of them, you know, it's situations that if we had done better, you know, we feel as though we would have won those games. And so very, very, very few times was it our opponent, you know, that was beating us, but rather us beating ourselves. And so we're going to focus on ourselves here to finish.
You have a Ball State team that comes in. It's been injury prone over the last few weeks. They're on their fourth starting quarterback. We know injury is certainly a part of the game, and the Cardinals have weathered through it, and still they're fighting just as much as anybody else when you look at the tape.
No doubt. You know, they played Toledo the night we played NIU, so obviously we, you know, have put that in and watched and knew that they had come off of a couple of lopsided losses, but I'll tell you what, you couldn't tell by watching the Toledo game, and Toledo ended up getting some explosive plays, and that score got big as well, but that's not how, you know, Ball State has approached each game. And So it's going to be another dogfight.
It's a Cardinal team that is number one in the Mid-American Conference in time of possession at better than 33 minutes a contest. We know time of possession doesn't always translate into wins, but you look at them, they're on top of the league. Your team right now, 10th out of 12, including last week, Ball State had the ball for just shy of 39 minutes. How does that change game plans when they're just holding on to the football?
Ball State had it for 39?
Yep.
Did they really? Wow, that's a lot. Yeah, I don't know that it changes the game plan for the Army game when you know that it's a team that's going to limit how many possessions you get. I don't think that the Ball State situation is the same. I don't think that the possessions are being limited. I think that the possessions are just quick.
Right.
And that's a different scenario. So it's not going to affect our game plan.
Greg Stender here with head coach Chris Creighton as we have the remaining few moments here on the All-E Show. They are led by their senior defensive end, Anthony Winbush. You go from one guy who was the number one leader in tackles a week ago at Sutton Smith at NIU to a guy that's right there behind him, second in sacks and eighth for tackles for loss, and he is a force to be reckoned with.
Very, very, very talented player. Very talented player. He just pops off the film, you know. But like you said, I mean, we're at the point of the season where we've seen some really good players, and you know, we're gonna we got a plan for him, and you know, he's very difficult to block. There's no question. You got to try to stay out of third and longs, and everybody does that. But he can take over a game.
16 freshmen the Cardinals playing this year. Certainly much different when you're playing a lot of fresh kids versus an upperclassman laden team like you have. From a coaching perspective, how much easier does it make when you have seniors versus freshmen?
Well, you know, if you've got seniors that have a lot of experience and whatnot, you know, you hope that that's an advantage. I'll tell you, the young guys, one, they're getting great experience, and you can't necessarily tell their age by the way that they play. I mean, they've got some really good people out there. I mean, and when you look at the scouting report and you see that, you know, they got an FR by their names, it's like, whoa, you know, that guy's going to be you know, really, really good. Not that they're not already. And so they've done a nice job.
Last year in Muncie, your team found themselves down 21 points in the first quarter. Certainly the goal is not to be in a situation like that. But looking back at last year, it was election night. It was a crazy night as your team clinched bowl eligibility for the first time in 29 years. What do you remember from the Ball State game last year?
Well, you know, we turned the ball over twice. In the first quarter, you know, and you can't do that. So I remember turning it over and being down 21, but honestly not feeling as though, you know, the walls and the ceiling were caving in at all. And our team, I just didn't get that sense. And then, you know, it was a great comeback. It was a really, really long game. You know, I think it was maybe better than 4 hours, but, yeah, it was just a neat night, kind of an empty stadium, but knew it was an election night, knew it was on national television. We were down, we were coming back, fighting for bowl eligibility. So it was one I won't soon forget.
Yeah, I guess they won for the ages as the Eagles storm back to win 48-41 at Schumann Stadium. So Eagles will try to get on the right side of the ledger against Ball State as Eastern has not beat Ball State in its last six trips into the factory, the last time coming back in 2015 when the Cardinals won 28-17. Coach, we wish you the best of luck on Thursday night against Ball State, and hopefully we're back here next Monday talking about an EMU victory and one game closer to fulfilling that season goal.
I'm all for it.
There he is, head coach Chris Creighton. Appreciate him tonight, as always, as we get you set for Thursday. Don't forget, a busy week around the EMU campus. Wednesday, free admission to women's basketball. Hillsdale for the exhibition game. That begins at 7. Football back here on Thursday night, a 6 o'clock start. You can get your tickets, emueagles.com or the EMU ticket office, 734-487-ENOW. Or you can come back on Friday. It's Western Michigan in the house as the volleyball team wraps up their home campaign, and we wish you all can be out there. For head coach Chris Creighton, I'm Greg Stender. We'll see you next Monday night. It's Eastern Michigan and the All-East Show. Good night, everybody.